We Talk Podcast presents
Money, 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 Money.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam
William Arbuthnot,
with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joe Johnson.
Well, we live in a new world, Josh.
We have a world where a WWE Hall of Famer is the President of the United States of America.
Yep. Well, we won't get too in-depth into this because this isn't a political podcast. It is surreal to think that we live in a world where we have a WWE
former owner of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. That actually freaked people out when it happened.
People thought it was legit. It crashed the stock, much like it crashed the actual stock market last night.
Yeah, but we won't get too political.
Donald Trump is the President of the United States. Vince McMahon actually put something towards money that worked out for once.
It's not often that happens, but you know, it's one of those days. It's one of those things where Vince actually had an investment that paid off. Whether
they make $6 million.
Yeah. Yep. Good job, Vince.
Now, my question to you is: will we see him on WWE programming before he goes into the White House?
Oh, Vince would be a fool not to grab him. I mean, that's ratings. Mm-hmm. This is the highest rated election, I think, ever.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that, but...
No, I know it's in a long time it is, yeah. I mean, everybody was absolutely glued to the television last night because it was almost like a wrestling match, right? It was one of those things, too, where to some people, they went in thinking the babyface was definitely going to go over. And then it was kind of like John Cena and Brock in a way. I kind of look at it, it's like, oh, well, John Cena will win for sure. And then Brock just came in, and it was Suplex City. Nobody really expected it. And when it was done, people didn't know what to make of what the future was.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton sure got taken to Suplex City.
She did. And again, we're not going to get too political, but it's going to be an interesting world as far as censorship goes in the world of television. Vince McMahon may be one of those people, being a friend of Donald Trump, that doesn't have to worry about that, luckily.
This whole thing is going to be interesting, and I think it was... you draw some parallels from the world of pro wrestling with the Brock and Cena match, and just, you know, in some ways, this is kind of like Stone Cold in some ways, the guy that said whatever he wanted, did whatever he wanted, and eventually connected with the crowd. He clearly connected with a large portion of America. And,
I was going to say, he connected with a crowd.
Yeah. And now, a crowd. And now he has the title.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have to defend it for 4 years, so...
Nope.
WWE Hall of Famer is your U.S. president. Woo?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on anything. I'm just going to...
Just gracefully move on.
Silence is bliss, and I think people can take my tone with that alone. And if you have any comments, Jawa31 at Twitter, FreshTake42 at Twitter, bring it on.
I have nothing. I know nothing of politics. I am slowly steering away.
If you do want to hear more opinions as far as politics go, we will have a political podcast up in Fresh Take within the next few weeks. Next few days, sorry. So political stuff will all be there. Joel will stay clear of it. I will not. So leave Joel alone. But we will talk about the election with Haley Jarmain. So make sure you check out Fresh Take for that. As far as anything else goes, let's dive into the less crazy world of professional wrestling.
Yep. Pro wrestling seems sane right now, and I don't know if that's a good thing, but the Cruiserweights are getting their own show.
Yeah, so we forgot to cover this last week, but now that we have, I'm kind of glad that we did, because now there are so many questions we would have asked last week, and now everything kind of makes more sense with what happened on SmackDown.
Yeah. Now, the biggest thing with SmackDown is Kalisto is challenging for the Cruiserweight title. And some of that might sound funny to some of you, but that is because it's a Raw versus SmackDown match, and if Kalisto captures the Cruiserweight title, the Cruiserweights ship on over to Tuesday nights and get to hang out with Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo and Todd Phillips and all the rest of the gang.
Which makes sense, though, because, well, it makes sense because 205 Live will be taped on Tuesday nights. So it makes me think that, well, it just seems inevitable that they will be moving the Cruiserweight divisions to SmackDown.
Yeah, and it makes the most sense, and honestly, it's probably the right call, all things considered. You gotta look at it as this will probably benefit the Cruiserweights better. SmackDown, that just helps fill out SmackDown that much more, having that Cruiserweight brand there. I have a funny feeling we're going to get a swap of titles. I feel like the IC title is going to make its way over to Monday Night Raw, and the Cruiserweight title will make it over to SmackDown.
Well, I have a theory of that. I think the rumor is the stakes that we wanted so badly last week. Sami Zayn's going to win the IC title, but I think he will be coming back to SmackDown, because I think on Monday Night Raw, when Shane and Brian do meet with Stephanie, much to Brian's pleasure, Brian's not looking too forward to it, obviously. But I think that they will announce the stakes and the trade. And I think we could even see trades, too. They had hinted that Miz could be someone that would be traded because Brian's kind of sick of Miz. And we've heard the rumors for a long time that Raw may be getting the Miz and Maryse edition. So I could see a trade happen. But I could see, yeah, as far as Survivor Series goes, trading both the titles, at least the Survivor Series.
Yeah. And yeah, funny you mention trades. There are two people on Monday Night Raw that are desperately wanting to go to SmackDown.
And Sami Zayn.
No, they are the club. They want to reunite with AJ. They feel like they've hit a wall on Raw, and they feel like they could be better suited working with AJ.
Well, why don't they just wait until their best friend comes back, Finn Balor, for the rumored Roadblock?
Well, Balor's not going to be back for Roadblock. I don't think he'll be back for
Roadblock. That's just a rumor that's going around right now.
I think he'll probably, if anything, he'll announce he's entering in the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I definitely, but I also think that they kind of saw some momentum with AJ, and AJ is the cornerstone of SmackDown. You can't tell me someone that's more important to SmackDown than AJ Styles right now, with Cena gone. Because AJ is the center fold of everything, of the feuds, every little thing that goes on in SmackDown, at least in the world title picture, is centered around him. And he has helped carry that brand to what one of my big predictions for next year is. I think SmackDown's going to beat Raw in the ratings. I think we will live in a world where SmackDown does better numbers than Monday Night Raw, and I think part of that reason will be AJ Styles. And I think that's kind of why
that's crazy. Kind of looking at I think that's crazy.
Jumping ship. I think it would be smarter if they stayed and worked with their good old boy Balor. But I can also see them wanting to keep Balor as a babyface and keep that rocket propelling him forward. And they can go off and be dastardly heels on SmackDown with the phenomenal AJ Styles. And the tag team division is a little bit stronger in SmackDown as well, so I think that they could have some more fun there as well, working with different teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, if we're going to see three guys potentially go over, it's going to be the club and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I think the rumor had been three people that would be traded plus the trophy. And it's kind of been those three that we've been talking about, Sami and then the club. I did find it interesting how much Brian threw around Cesaro's name on Talking Smack.
He's another guy that they could be. I think Sammy's more or less if it happens, he's going to be one of the main guys that SmackDown could end up taking. Cesaro's another guy, but I have heard Cesaro's contract is kind of coming to a close. So I wonder if they send him to SmackDown and give him a nice little push. He'd probably be within that intercontinental stratosphere because the World Heavyweight title is earmarked for Dean and earmarked for a certain Dr. Thugonomics when he returns from American Grid.
The IC title is?
No, the World Heavyweight title.
Oh, the World, yeah, it'll be interesting. With Cesaro, it's such a great talent, but one thing I want to talk about, because, you know, this is the first week we don't have to talk about TNA, Joel. So we can kind of go all over the place and talk about WWE programming. One of the major topics I wanted to hit this week before we get to a lot of new stuff now is promos and how it can hurt a person and help a person. And I think two people that you can definitely see, one that definitely comes to mind is, let's go to Monday Night Raw. We had 3 to 2 definite super reactions. Noam Dar and Bayley. Cesaro also to a lesser extent, and I'll get to Cesaro in a second. But let's talk about Bayley. Her promos are really holding her back.
Yeah. It's one of those cases where I think she's got to find a little bit of that that personality, fire. That little bit of that thing that helps. Because she was such a big thing in NXT, and it was so in a lot of ways they were kind of safeguarded and protected, and now on live TV you're kind of seeing the warts and all. But I think that
she didn't know how to handle those chants, really, in a way. Like, it was adorable and cute how we liked Bayley, but in the same way it seemed like she didn't know how to play to it. And I really think that the reason that segment worked so well is because Charlotte saved them.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely work to be done. But here's the thing. I don't think at any point we expected them to come in and just be downright fantastic. How long has Bayley been on the main roster, Josh?
September.
So a couple months. First massive crowd reaction for Bayley.
Mm.
So that's first. We saw it happen with Paige. Paige floundered the first time she got a big pop, and the crowd was kind of going.
Paige could cut a promo, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. See, and it, even then, she kind of floundered a little bit on that promo. She kind of got everything kind of happened. I think with Bayley, I think all of this is just going to take some time. I'd be a little bit more concerned about Sasha and her promos, because they haven't clicked.
Yeah, Sasha's promos aren't good either. But she, at least Sasha has the fire. Bayley, there's a talk on Raw Talk, there's a clip where Lita and Booker are trying to get it out of her, and she really is just like, I'm Bayley, and look at I am, and that cute gimmick, it worked, but I think it's kind of had its expiry date now.
I don't know if it's had its expiry date yet, but it is getting close. I think that I think this whole thing with Bayley is finding that passion, finding that fire, it's going to be interesting to see, because, you know, you look at some of the best babyface stuff that we've seen. The Daniel Bryan had fire and passion. Macho Man Randy Savage had cocaine, but he had passion. Stone Cold had his passion. The Rock had his charisma. I think it's just a matter of Bayley finding passion, or she's just not gonna last.
No,
it's really that simple. Cena has passion and fire in him. Bayley's going to have to find that to keep going, but I think she will. I'm not too worried. Sasha, I think, is a prime example of someone that is just better as the bad guy. I think it's easy. In some ways, it's a little bit easier to cut a heel promo.
Well, especially with that boss character, right? The boss character works much more. And don't get me wrong, the way that Bayley is, she works as a babyface and being innocent. It's just, we need her at times to ramp it up just a little bit more.
And I think we saw a little bit of that from her when she was dealing with Sasha.
Mm.
We saw that little bit of passion. So
he did.
It exists. It is out there. It's just a matter of harnessing it now.
Exactly. So that was a major concern to me, but obviously in ring, she's terrific, and it looks like it's going to be her and Charlotte next, and that pop was huge, and I think that re-energized probably her to people in the back that weren't sure about her.
Yeah, it definitely helps her a great deal to see a reaction like that for Bayley, which I think will help just move her forward.
And then the other pop that we had, and I want to get back to promos, was Noam Dar. What a great way to bring in a guy that I had been mixed on the CWC, but thoroughly impressed. But and Joel, you have been on Team Noam Dar since the beginning.
Yeah, I've known about this guy, and he's been impressive, and I think it's just gonna. I think there's the potential for him is as high as he wants to go. In ring, I feel like he very well could go further than some people. I don't think he's gonna blow the roof off the building, but I also think that he has a lot of potential, and this new show 205 Live definitely helps everyone out.
Well, it's also the one thing you and I have been looking for out of the cruiserweights is they just need to mean something. And they need that superstar quality to them, and I think they tried to do that with TJ Perkins' entrance. And, you know, it's a cool entrance, but the video game references obviously watered it down. But Noam Dar felt like the first guy that came out in a while. I was like, oh, I don't know who that guy is, but I need to pay attention to him.
Yeah. And stuff like that, that starts to trickle down. It starts to get people kind of buzzing about stuff. And then things just start rolling from there.
We'll have to see how he does when he gets back in front of an American crowd next week. But for now, I believe they're in Buffalo next week, so East Coast crowd should be pretty good. And then the week after that, he'll be in Toronto, or I guess he could be in Ottawa. We don't know where the Cruiserweights will be the week after, I suppose. But it was encouraging to see the Cruiserweights finally get some attention. Obviously, they're in a better crowd like in Scotland, though.
Yeah. And that crowd very much enjoys, and it's a special treat for them. So you expect there to be a little bit more passion and fire.
And then we go back to the promo side of things. Cesaro, what do you think about him in that mix with all the tag teams there? Because to me, obviously New Day, funny with the Bret Hart stuff. I thought the standout there for the promo was Sheamus.
Yeah.
And I thought Cesaro really struggled in a way that makes me what make Vince go like, well, yeah, I just don't know about him, guys.
It's definitely a reality that Cesaro promos are definitely one of his, not his strong suit. In Wing, he's phenomenal. But promo-wise, there's definitely that little bit of lackingness to it. I always go back to the WrestleMania 7, that video package that we saw for Austin Rock, and just the little sound bites from Rock and Austin over the belt, this monumental match. And if you can't cut a promo and have those little sound bites that you can pull up in post and edit and place at a certain point in that video to get people hyped, then you're in a little bit of trouble. And that's where Cesaro struggles, but at the same time, I don't think Cesaro's going to be like, well, I don't care. I'm not doing anything about this. I'm just going to sit here and just wrestle. I think if they found a way to make things work with him, they're going to find a way. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of figuring out that finding Cesaro's voice. That's the problem with a lot of these people, is they haven't found their voice. It's there. It rests in every single one of those performers. It's just finding it. I mean, look at AJ Styles.
Yeah.
He didn't have his voice until just recently, and now he's just rocket to the moon, just great heel promos week in and week out from him.
And it helps sometimes, too, because I feel sometimes they get in programs, you get to, like, the promos of him and Cena were fun, but Cena says these things that knock him down and knock him down. He doesn't have that anymore, right, on SmackDown? And I felt the same thing kind of happened with Sammy this week, with Stephanie saying, I hate your hat and I hate your Sky music. And it's like another Stephanie promo saying something about a guy that a lot of people love and just knocking him down. And, yeah, you're a heel, but you can only knock someone down so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's an issue. That's a, like, the emasculating performers do not help them. Because, let's be honest, there's no repercussions for what Stephanie says. There's nothing that can happen to Stephanie that can, you know, give her get back at her. All it'll be is she says all these things and then she walks away. And that leaves her the victor. And again, Sammy may have won the match, but it's still that world that we live in where
we know what they think about Sammy.
Yeah. It's stupid. It's stupid hat, stupid ska music, stupid all the things, and
this is another thing of Vince being like, well, I just don't goddamn get it.
Yeah. And, like, he still didn't, I don't think he still ever fully understand Daniel Bryan. He didn't get why that happened. And
I was worried, actually, just talking about them not getting things, was when there was a promo on SmackDown this week, and they had all the guys in the ring, and they had AJ standing next to Baron Corbin and to Bray, and he looked so small. And I was like, oh my God, someone push AJ to the other side to James Ellsworth quick. Because if Vince sees this, he may be like, oh God, he's so small.
And that's a reality. That's absolutely a reality in WWE. Well, where it just doesn't, like, that would send Vince into a tailspin.
So, yeah, just little things there, the art of the promo and everything. I think even with Anderson and Gallows, we know how good of a promo Anderson is,
yeah,
and they just don't get a chance to really shine. Going back to what you're saying with their frustrations.
Yeah, like, I definitely think they need to go up to SmackDown, and there's just something about that SmackDown show that just seems smart and well written, and everything kind of goes and has a modest flow to it that is enjoyable and easy.
Well, how's about this, Joel? Kalisto came back, and I think if this was Raw, he just beat down. Yeah. But I think they did a big enough job to make me think, like, Baron Corbin came out. I was like, oh, they're doing a good job with Baron Corbin. He came out, he felt like a badass. He was beating the crap out of Kalisto, but they did a good job of also having Kalisto come back, get his heat back, get his revenge. Like, okay, I'm ready to see Kalisto now. So you did a good job of giving both guys exactly what they need, and there's not enough of that on Raw right now.
Yeah, no, there's certain things lacking on Raw, that certain things at SmackDown. Is it weird that this is the same company that's running Raw and SmackDown to you?
It is, but they do have different writers, though, right?
Yeah. At the same time, they all have the same showrunner, same creative head. And it's night and day difference. Is it just Vince doesn't care on SmackDown? Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And under two, like, there is rumors that, like, Brian and Shane have influence, and that Stephanie and Mick have influence. But I wonder, does Stephanie have more influence? Shane obviously has more influence, right? But I think Stephanie is going to say what she said, that she's probably not going to listen to Mick as much. And Shane's going to listen to Brian more and other writers more, listen to their ideas to build a better show.
This definitely feels like Brian's. I feel like there's probably some really top-end writers, I've heard rumors that one of the top writers or top guys that was in NXT is now one of the top guys for SmackDown.
Makes sense then, right?
So I think it's just, they've got a lot of good things going there, and hopefully it just kind of continues to grow, because you can really grow this SmackDown brand to be something truly remarkable.
Absolutely. I never have a bad time watching it. I mean,
I read the spoilers for SmackDown, but I watched it again today after, because, you know, not many people watched yesterday with the election. But I knew what was going to happen, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. Funny enough, SmackDown was the highest rated non-election coverage program yesterday.
And that's what spoilers for, too.
Yeah. So.
Well, go ahead.
It's kind of neat to see that out of all the election stuff, SmackDown was standing there. And that's got to say something that there were certain people that tuned into. I mean, there are certain people that tuned in definitely because by the time SmackDown was on and the election results were starting to come in, there were a lot of people very kind of like, I'm going to go watch something else for a little bit.
Well, actually, the election stuff, the states just started coming in as SmackDown started. Like, it was just the very start when things started. We hadn't, I think California hadn't even came in by the time SmackDown had ended.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Good on So some people, well, you and I had this discussion, maybe they should put in the day. It was kind of maybe some people were like, well, I'll watch this from this time to this time, and by the time I get then we're going to get into the meat of the election. Or I just don't want to watch it, which could have been another option as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm calling an audible, Josh.
And sure.
I got a little bit of stuff from Dave Meltzer. Well, not me personally, but
sure.
The wonders of the internet. There's information. Vince blames Sasha for the finish at Hell in a Cell, not connecting with the crowd. It was Sasha's fault. So, it's Sasha's fault that she's not 200 plus pounds that can easily break a table, Josh.
Cool. Why would we ever blame the new billion dollar princess Charlotte? Why would we ever blame her?
Yeah.
I feel bad for Charlotte, but in the same way, she's kind of pretty much Teflon because of who her daddy is and who her daddy is really close friends with.
Oh, yes. She's going to. That streak's going to continue for her.
She's the hunter of the women's division.
She is. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I got a question for you. I'm calling another audible, just for fun.
Sure.
Josh, what over under the chances that one of the team, we have 5-on-5, and one of the team is up 3-1, 3-1, and that one person eliminates 3 people. And we have
pretty high, because it normally happens.
Joke. Does
pretty high. Yeah, it normally does, so.
Yeah. They can put on Cleveland baseball team jerseys and Golden State jerseys, and we'll be golden.
Well, I'll tell you one spot that's definitely going to happen. Braun is going to get a move from Shane happen to him, and they're going to be both knocked out.
Yeah. No.
Like, he's probably going to do the elbow to the table. That's probably what's going to take him out. But that, I can almost guarantee you, that's how Braun's going to be taken out of the match. Because Braun will not be pinned.
Yeah.
But he's not staying at the end.
No.
And I think the right move is, and I'm not just saying this as a fanboy, I think, you know, we've heard a lot of talk of AJ Styles and how happy Vince is with AJ Styles and how they want to put AJ Styles over the top, maybe turn him a babyface. You need AJ Styles to pin Roman Reigns.
Oh, God.
It's the one thing he has not done in the company yet.
That's true.
It's the one thing that he was not able to do. He was able to beat John Cena. He was able to win the World Heavyweight Championship. He could never beat Roman Reigns. If he gets that Roman Reigns pin, that is huge. Now, they probably won't do it because Kevin Owens and him are facing each other at Roadblock. At least it's advertised right now. Not on WWE programming, but by the arena. That is programmed and built right now from the arena. But again, it's not officially built, but we seem to go that way. It's just on Raw's team, you can see anyone in there being pinned. SmackDown's, I mean. On Raw's team, there's some guys I'm like, okay, well, Jericho, no problem. But it's guys like Braun and Roman, and how do you take out KO? It's like, how are these guys going to get taken out of the match? That's really hard to figure out. And even Seth, because Seth kind of needs a win. But we all want SmackDown to win. But it seems that Raw would be hurt more, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it'd be so much bigger if SmackDown does pin those guys.
Oh, yeah, because that's a huge little surprise thing that happens that you're like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. Did you see whose birthday it is today? Speaking of the Isle of
Chris Gold. Jericho's?
Yeah. And did you see how he ate cake?
Yeah, from Seth Rollins.
Yeah. The one thing with, like, tying into the Survivor Series team, I think one of the most interesting there are three, four interesting dynamics right now with the main Survivor Series match. It's the Shield, the Best Friends, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens, who are both the Universal Champion, by the way.
Of course.
How does Randy factor into everything?
You know, really quickly, with Randy, what do you think about this Wyatt stuff now that we really saw it in full force on SmackDown? With him coming out in the entrance, he didn't wear the overalls like Daniel Bryan had to. But what did you think about everything that happened with that?
You know, it's going to... I always want to see how the story ends, or at least the midway point for the story. I'm very interested. We have seen this before. And I do think this is a wolf in sheep's clothing, or in this case, a viper in overalls. But I don't know. I'm kind of... My intrigue with Randy is who's going to replace him for Team Survivor Series.
Well, that's a possibility because he has the kid in the way. We don't know for sure yet.
Yeah. I can imagine they'd probably give him that off because he's a veteran. Do you have to replace him, though? Is it the Miz?
Miz. Yeah, I mean, it's a simple... I think the simple solution is, and this could bring us into something that's going to happen next week, is Undertaker's coming back, and there's been rumors of that match. Undertaker just takes out Randy Orton. It's a pretty simple way to take care of things, right?
And the other big rumor is that WrestleMania 33 is it for Taker.
And is it Cena, or is it Randy?
I don't know, but... The whole thing is, the rumor is that that's what kind of WrestleMania is going to be built around this year.
It has to be Cena then. It has to be Cena then.
It is the last match of The Undertaker.
Hall of Fame then?
I think so, yeah. You've done it for Flair, you did it for HBK. You might as well do it with Taker.
It might as well be
surreal when that show finally goes off air and The Undertaker's retired. That SmackDown, that Tuesday SmackDown, because that's where the speech should happen. In all likelihood, it'll probably happen on Monday Night Raw. But
probably.
Just that, when he comes out and just the final little bit of kayfabe dying... Well, it's been dead for a long time, but that's the nail in its coffin, is when he comes out and he gives that retirement speech. And I don't know if he gives a speech. I think Vince is probably going to force him to say something.
Probably.
But it'll be surreal when that is it for Taker.
Yeah.
And this may be my one and only opportunity to see The Undertaker's entrance at Survivor Series. So damn it, Josh, make it happen.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that could be something else that happens too, is maybe The Undertaker takes out Randy Orton, maybe The Undertaker takes Randy Orton's spot.
I want it so bad. There's very few things from my childhood that sit there and were like eyes wide with bewilderment. That even still to this day, I still have wonder and awe, and that's The Undertaker. And
it's hard to believe that you're going to do the SmackDown 900 show, and you're not going to have Edge or Undertaker come up for Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think that really ties into it. Like, having both those guys there just naturally kind of helps propel things forward. And I mean, if this is The Undertaker's last go at everything, which I really think it is, why not have him do one last Survivor Series? And especially with it being a 5-on-5 team, What does it hurt anyone? How does that not benefit Team SmackDown, the people around him, that locker room, to just be around The Undertaker just for one time? Because he's not going to be around.
And maybe that's your program you want. Maybe it's Roman and Undertaker.
Oh, why did you have to hurt me?
I'm just saying, man. That's a program you can go with.
Well, yeah. Oh, my soul. Now,
So I think we kind of think that will be the Undertaker's fault, but not SmackDown. We're gonna stay on SmackDown 900, and then we'll get back to this week, and then we'll go to Raw. Edge is back, Cutting Edge. It has to be AJ Styles, right? Because we've never seen those two in the ring before.
Oh God, that would be, it's just teasing people, but that'd be really, that's gonna be really cool to see. It could be that, it could be Dino, it could be...
James Ellsworth.
Is it done yet?
I'm booing him in Toronto, just so everybody knows, I am booing him.
He's probably going to get a big pop.
He probably will, I'm booing him, I don't care. I'm not a fan, I think it's stupid, I don't enjoy it anymore, it's not funny, the joke is over. I'm happy for the guy. That's great. But like, is the joke over yet? Like, can we? I hope that KO or someone just destroys him at Survivor Series. And we never have to see him again.
Well, he's gonna be at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, probably. He's probably gonna knock out Braun.
Oh,
something's happening with him and Braun at Survivor Series.
Oh yeah,
and it should.
The one thing that I've liked about Braun, and Braun's grown on me, like, just, he's a big man, because you need those big men, and he fills that role perfectly. And I think
they've actually built him rather well.
Yeah. And just kind of like The Undertaker, where he didn't get knocked off his feet for a whole year, or The Shield didn't lose for almost a whole year, you kind of do the same thing with him, where he wasn't pinned clean. And I think that's the way to kind of go with him, is to have him just tear through people and have that build for Braun. Like, by no means am I sitting there going, I want to see Braun versus Cena, I want to see Braun versus Roman, I want to see Braun versus... And no way is it fantasy matches, but it's good to have this big guy, because then when you have someone slay a giant, it means something. And I think
what's the WrestleMania match for him right now?
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe throw him in with the Shaq and Big Show match.
Maybe. I think that's just kind of by itself, because that seems like, I think we're getting two swan songs this WrestleMania. It's Shows and Takers.
Yeah, which is ironic because they tag team.
Do you put Show in the Hall of Fame this year too, or do you let Taker just have the shine? And because Show is, I don't know if he's a main event guy, but Show is someone that we all grew up with, and
yeah,
we all have memories of Big Show, and we have our good memories and bad memories, and heel turns and face turns.
And then heel turns and face turns again.
But I grew up being a fan of Big Show.
Yeah, I think for him, I think you save that. Because that'll always be a good one to have down the line. I think with Taker, it's just, you have to do it. There's no mulligan about it. It just has to.
And you save Brian as well, I'm guessing, or do you Brian and Taker next year?
Oh, you save Brian. You save Brian, and you have it the following year. Like,
And you still got Rock as well. So you have a few main guys you can still go with now.
Yeah. And Brian's a Meltzer Hall of Fame. Like, that is the career he has had. Taker's already in the Meltzer Hall of Fame, isn't he?
I'm not sure, but the thing is, if Sting isn't, how is Taker?
Yeah, he's...
Sting's been a better performer, wrestling-wise.
I don't know.
those early years of Undertaker compared to the early years of Sting. Yeah.
But, I mean...
Sting, he caught up after the Sting TNA stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
And Joker Sting.
Yeah. But you also...
But I think if you look back at more five-star matches, Sting definitely has more.
I still think that, yeah, Undertaker was inducted in 2004.
That's crazy that he's in and Sting isn't. I understand The Undertaker is the best gimmick of all time, and he's one of the more known personalities of all time. I just don't understand the reason Sting's not in that. It makes no sense to me.
What is Meltzer's reason? What has he said?
I haven't really got a solid reason. I just think some people, they say his drawing power wasn't as good as some people think it was.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but to me, when I was a kid, that Crow character was such a big deal. It was one of the best gimmicks of all time, the Crow character.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, man. It's hard to think of a Hall of Fame that doesn't have Sting in it. It just doesn't seem right.
It's a very real, I think that one of the bigger things that play a role in it is, just Sting was part of WCW, which had towards the end, a lot of negativity towards it. He's part of TNA, and there's certain things that Sting's been a part of that had negative connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you put an Undertaker doll next to Sting doll, I think there's a better chance the kid knows who the Undertaker is versus who Sting is, just based on that market. And that just shows the power and the genius and the madness and the craziness of Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
You're not wrong.
And the other thing that I still play a big factor in everything is the Undertaker got a dead man gimmick over, went to the biker, went back to the dead man, and it all clicked in one way or another. The biker's probably not as strong, but at the same time, he helped win the Monday Night Wars. He was a loyal soldier through and through. He had the streak, and just his commitment to kayfabe, and just, I also think one of the factors that a lot of people take in with Taker is the locker room stories, and just the respect, and just the general that he was back there, and just being the grounding force and the judge, jury, and executioner of that locker room. You don't hear that with Sting, and I think ring-wise and draw-power-wise, there's an argument there, but everything else kind of tips its scales to the dead man, and it's something that maybe down the line Sting does get into the Meltzer Hall of Fame, but I definitely think Taker deserves that spot. Like, he's...
By the way, that's the match for WrestleMania if you really want to do it. It's Taker-Sting.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but that's the match.
Oh, yeah.
That's the dream match. Like, we all want the Cena match, but that's the match.
Oh, yeah. That's the match, but I think that if they were smart, they'd go with Cena Taker. That is absolutely the way you go with that, but, you know, it's definitely an interesting thing.
I'm going to pivot now and go more weekly stuff here. Yeah. Last thing for SmackDown, the women's title match, great title match, and I thought I really liked the ending of it, too.
Yeah.
I liked what they did. It made Alexa still look strong, and I'm assuming we'll get Alexa versus Becky at, what's that pay-per-view called? TLC.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll be in a tables match. But I can see Alexa winning there.
Yeah.
She's just bringing the fire every single week. And we know they don't like Becky talking, so.
Yeah. Because of that darn accent, that's just gotta be such a horrible thing.
So, what did you think about the match overall?
You know, it was a fine match. It was a decent women's match overall. I think Bliss has come a long way from what we kind of thought of her to what she is now, and Becky's just Becky Lynch in the ring. There's no arguing with she's very sound in that ring. So I had no complaints.
No, I thought it was good. Everything in SmackDown, like, again, I knew everything that was going to happen with spoilers from reading it earlier in the day. But everything still, like, I wanted to see how it worked. I even really enjoyed Dango and Breeze. I'm really enjoying the Fashion Police gimmick. I think it's a really fun gimmick to do.
Yeah.
I thought they were hilarious on Talking Smack. And I think they can go, you know, they're not going to win the tag titles or anything anytime soon, but they could go a far way. And seeing as one of the tag team champions has a seat in Congress, that will be interesting to see what happens to the tag titles.
Yeah.
Do we know anything with that yet? Is Ronald going to stay with the company, or is he done now?
I heard he lost.
He did win. I confirmed. I can confirm he won the seat.
He won the seat?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be interesting, because I haven't heard much on it, so I'm interested to see what they do. I do think that's going to think that the title is going to be dropped sooner rather than later, and it's going to be a heel group that's going to get it.
I would assume so, and I would assume that group would be the Usos.
Yeah. They're not going to come out and do their Uso chant? Uso crazy?
Probably not. No. Who do you see winning the tag team match at Survivor Series right now? I know it's a little early, but after this week, who do you think? I think I'm leaning a little bit Raw on that one.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning Raw. Raw all the way.
All right, well, anything else from SmackDown you want to talk before we get to Raw?
Nothing that comes to mind.
Just another great week. Let's talk about Raw. What's the highlights from Raw? Same thing as it is every week?
Lock it in, man. Man, there's just something about the two of them that just clicks. And it's so good. And it's so entertaining. And it's hey, Kevin Owens pinned Chris Jericho. What does it mean, Josh?
What does it mean? I don't think it means anything. But I think it's just an added thing for the tension down the road. I do think they're facing each other at WrestleMania now.
Yeah, they seem to be building that way.
Because you have Roadblock, which is going to be Roman Reigns. I would assume a rematch against Roman would be at the Royal Rumble. Which is fantastic, because now we don't have to get Roman in the Royal Rumble.
But Josh, don't you want Roman in... Don't you want the Royal Rumble with Roman Reigns?
No, I don't.
No? No?
So... Anyone? Oh, and there's also the other rumor, though, that... excuse me. That Brock could be facing Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble as well. KO, sorry.
Roman.
So that means we still could get Roman in there.
Yay! So exciting. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because how do you do that? And oh God, Josh, are they going to do this? Brock wins the title and Shane challenges for the title.
Probably. Nah, that's not going to happen. Although I said that's not going to happen to a lot of things this week, and it's happened, so I can't confirm or deny things that will happen or not anymore. I'm sorry.
Oh, ow. This hurts. That hurts to think that would happen. It's the Universal title, and it's brand new, and it's not the World Heavyweight title, the WWE Championship, but still. It's... No.
Still real to me, damn it!
Exactly.
We'll see. There's a lot of booking to be done here. I can't see Roman. I mean, unless they want to do the rematch of Roman and Brock at the Royal Rumble. But then to me, like, you're just doing flip-flop with the title.
No, no, Joel don't want this. Joel don't want this at all.
No. Or maybe they don't use Brock. We don't know if they're going to use Brock or not, but you would think how much they're pimping the Royal Rumble right now in San Antonio, that seems like something you'd want to use Brock for, right?
And I'm sorry to break it to you, but Mr. HBK has said he's not going to wrestle. He has no desire to go back into the square.
It's all a red herring, I'm telling you.
It is?
Yeah, he doesn't believe it. Come on, it's wrestling. Have you ever heard of this thing called wrestling? They like to lie about things a lot?
They do,
it's called a work.
Oh, I'm fully well aware. And if they work me, then great. Then I'm going to be over the moon happy when AJ gets super kicked. And then Styles hits him with a forearm. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, yeah, probably not. But I'm an optimist.
Yeah, I
do think we got a good chance, though. I mean, what are the chances we can get Mantar and Kevin Owens? That's the dream match I really want.
Oh, if that happens, then I'm going home.
No, you're going to be watching every minute of that. Everybody wants Mantar versus Kevin Owens. It's Mantar's great return, man. We've been waiting so long for this. So else from Raw, so we talked about Bayley, we talked about the tag team, we talked about Vince changing his mind on Sasha. Apparently it's her fault she can't break a table because she's not 500 pounds, or even like a normal site with body weight. Sami Zayn will face Dolph Ziggler for the IC title. I think we're both pretty excited. My question is now, like, two main guys from the rosters are left off this card now, which is Miz and Rusev. I wonder where they will fit.
They will be in a backstage segment where they will argue with their girlfriends.
Oh, both are on Total Divas.
Yep. There we go. Problem solved.
Which premieres the week of Survivor Series. Because as we're recording this podcast, today is the finale of Total Bellas.
Darn. I'm so disappointed it's done and over with.
No update for you this week.
No update.
We do know that Mama Bella is marrying Big John Laurinaitis.
How does Brian feel about that?
I don't know. It's still interesting to watch.
Has John Laurinaitis had any interaction with Cena and Brian on the show?
Oh yeah, lots.
And how entertaining is it?
Pretty damn entertaining. It's funny watching him give fatherly advice like a Brie. Oh. Gotta say, I've enjoyed that quite a bit.
People power.
So that's really it from Raw. One last thing, then we'll get back to finishing this off. NXT, the contract signing between Joe and Nakamura. That went great. And we have another match announced. It will be DIY versus Dawson versus blanking on the names. The Revival. 2 out of 3 falls match. This match could end up being the one that steals the show.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm quite excited for this.
I respect there will be something with Roderick Strong still.
Yeah.
And there'll be something with the women, with Billy Kay and Peyton, with some kind of tag, I'm assuming.
Yeah. There's probably going to be a few things.
Because that makes the most sense, is to have them in some kind of thing like that.
So, yeah. Like, it just makes sense to kind of fill out the card. You got 2 hours.
Well, and they've been building up, you know, Peyton and Billy Kay. I mean, they were full fronts on the Mannequin Challenge that NXT did, which, if anyone hasn't seen, I think the Mannequin Challenge just almost ran its route, Joel.
Yep.
But that was pretty fun to watch. I think they maybe had the best Mannequin Challenge I saw.
Well, you saw Steve Corino in that.
Yeah, you did.
guest coach for NXT, and appears like he could be. His contract with ROH is run its course or close to, so he could be coming to the Fed.
I'm a little disappointed I didn't see Joe in there, but Shinsuke ending it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you have Insanity. They're really building Insanity up.
Yeah.
So Eric Young's probably going to get a run with the title.
Is he the one that beats Nakamura?
No, I think that's Rude still. But
yeah, I would agree. That's probably Rude.
Here's an interesting little thing. It appears there will be some kind of new gimmick match involving debut of the Crash Cage as a future NXT TakeOver special. The packaging on my son's new WWE Crash Cage ring for the wrestling figure shows a graphic that clearly reads, "Watch the WWE Crash Cage come to life at NXT TakeOver."
So maybe the Australian show?
Maybe. You look at the image, it's a cage that's hanging over a ring. It's a little cage that hangs over a ring, and I'm not totally sure what the reason for this
is. If you're going to bring anything back, just bring back the triple cage.
Yeah.
Give me my triple cage. I want my triple cage back. It's the one of the few things in WCW I kind of liked.
Can they bring back the electrocution chair? That whole gimmick?
Yes!
Judy Bagwell on a pole, please?
No.
Please?
No? Maybe. Whose mom and dad do we have? Noel Foley on a pole? Frank the Clown on a pole? Dewey Foley on a pole? Colette on a pole? And the other Foley, whose name I'm forgetting? Foley's on a pole match. No, you don't probably need any more to mix that would be sad on a pole.
Oh, God. What have I done? What have I done? I've opened up the Mick Foley on a pole match.
So, as we get closer, we're 1 week out now from pretty much the entire built-up Survivor Series. You know, this will be we did a good job. We have not commented fully about it, and now we can talk about we're a week away and where our excitement level is before we get to this next week. What are you looking forward to as we end this podcast right now the most?
Seeing AJ Styles live.
Yeah. I think we're gonna get Daniel Bryan too. I think he's gonna be coming down before the match starts.
Oh, I'm going to... The Yes Chants will run wild in Toronto.
That's what... One thing we totally forgot about. What did you think about Goldberg and Brock this week?
It was fine.
I thought it was a great piece. I don't know why Brock doesn't talk more.
In certain situations, it's a great... He's just good to have cut promos that say, I don't care at all. I'm here to... destroy people, and then go home.
Well, he doesn't say I don't care. He says I don't give a fuck.
Well, potato, potato. Same message.
Yeah. The face-to-face, there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. I'm hoping they do it the right way.
Josh, I don't know, but this is WWE, and sometimes... they're dumb. So...
Yep.
What are the likelihood of them doing something dumb?
High.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much where I put it.
But, I'm excited for the match, still. I think it'll be just... they do the match right. It could be just a fun beat of a match. My question to you is... should that be the main event? Should it, though?
It's got the most attention.
I think that Survivor Series single man one should be.
It has a lot of weight to it. But I think that... it's going to be Brock and Goldberg.
I mean, I get that, and that's fair. I think either or can go. It depends. Again, Joel, what are the hashtag stakes? Get it trending. What are the stakes? We need to know what the stakes are. Please let us know.
It'd be nice, but at the same time, there are probably going to be no stakes at all. We'll get stakes later as a winner, but we're not going to get stakes for this match.
So, yeah, it's, you know, we got Survivor Series coming up, and, you know, it's been a crazy week in New York. And one thing we didn't talk about, Joel, that we're going to finish the podcast off, is there's kind of a big show in New York this week.
Is there? There's no show in New York.
No, not at all.
No, there's nothing going on in New York. Like, there's no... The media hasn't been going crazy. Ariel Helwani is not down there. And Conor McGregor didn't shoot a basket? No!
So, we have UFC 205. It's the first show from Madison Square Garden. They finally got their license to have mixed martial arts there. And this card is probably the most loaded UFC card of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Although, Rashawn Evans dropped out of the show today?
Injury, or?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to read down the card, we're going to get to New Japan, and then we are going to get out of here.
Woo!
So, again, as Joel and I like to tell you, our mixed martial arts is limited.
Let's put it mildly.
So, I'm just going to go with the matches with people that we know, but pretty much a lot of big champions on here. The prelims... on UFC Fight Patch, some big names. The women's bantamweight will be on the line. Well, not on the line, but it's a women's bantamweight fight. And you have Liz Carmucci versus Caitlin Chattanooga. You have that's for the light women's. And then you also have, the way that this is written is weird. It's for the women's, that's the women's bantamweight. Then the lightweight, Jim Miller versus Thiago Alves. That's just the prelims, those two matches, Joel.
Holy crap.
Then that's on UFC Fight Pass. On the Fox One card, there's some names that are probably pretty big to other people. I'm just going to go to the biggest one there is Frankie Edgar is actually fighting on the Fox One against Jeremy Stephens. Frankie Edgar is someone that could be facing Conor McGregor in the future.
Please face Conor McDavid.
Everyone in Calgary is hoping for that right now. On the main card, though, absolutely stacked card. You have Miesha Tate facing Walk Raquel Pennington. Now, this is a really big fight for Miesha Tate, as we know that Ronda has her fight at the end of the year. There has been rumors circulating that Ronda could be part of the WWE family come WrestleMania. She only has a handful of fights left. I think if Miesha wants that rematch, which she kind of needs that rematch to get back, she needs to win this fight. If not, that Ronda and Miesha Tate fight is never going to happen.
Yeah.
So this is definitely a fight that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, because I think we all want that rematch, Joel, because... Well, you know, we're all fans of Ronda, and we want to make sure that Ronda can redeem that win back. So this is definitely something big that Miesha Tate needs.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely will be one. Either hell, this is make or break for her.
Welterweight match is Kevin Gleetsum versus Cowboy Cerrone. I'm not very familiar with Kelvin Gleitsum, but I know Cowboy Cerrone, so I'm just going to pick him in that match.
Yeah.
Middleweight match. We have Chris Weidman versus Yoel Romero. Should be a great match. We have a women's strawweight match with the champion, Jana Drowski versus Kriana Kalachetskits.
I know nothing.
Welterweight match. Tyron Woodley, the champion, faces Stephen Thompson.
I sort of know something.
I'm going to go with Tyron Woodley in that. And then the light heavyweight champion, Eddie Alvarez, taking on Conor McGregor.
I mean, it's hard to bet against Conor. he's lost, but it's hard to bet against him, so I'm going to pick Conor McGregor.
That fight that you and I saw, SummerSlam weekend.
Oh, God.
Was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. And the will that Conor has, it's just unmatchable. There's a reason that we never got to grow up watch Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And the greatest boxer of all time is arguably Oscar De La Hoya or Floyd Mayweather. Floyd by record, right?
Yeah.
But Floyd's never had fights. You're like, oh my God, what a great fight by Floyd Mayweather. Floyd just very good at dodging and getting the right punches in. Conor may be the greatest fighter of our generation next to Ronda.
Yeah.
And Ronda has all these knockouts, these TKOs that Tyson had, which I remember, but you probably don't remember much about Tyson.
No.
You're
biting.
Yeah. But Conor, that fight was like the determination that you see from a great champion. And I really think he's going to win this fight as well.
Yeah. It's just something he does is he wins.
He's an arrogant asshole, but he backs it up, and you either want to see him get knocked out or you want to see him knock out people, and that's the key to any fighter and anything in combat sports.
It's like he knows how to sell a fight or something. It's like promoting 101, something this company in the U.S. may struggle with at times, Josh. WWE? It's like this guy knows how to put stakes on things and have stakes and make you sit there and want to see what happens. And to be serious, that is absolutely... Anytime Conor McGregor's fighting, you know Conor McGregor's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You can shake a leg, you can shake a stick, and you'll be like, Conor McGregor's fighting. I know this. Just based on the promotion and how they built Conor and just Conor McGregor himself, because you hear what Conor does, and you're like, oh, Conor McGregor, more shenanigans.
And, you know, I keep on hearing how loaded that card was, and we're UFC novices, I'll be honest. I knew maybe five names on there.
You would talk, and you'd be like, this person's facing this person, and be like, yep, that person's facing that person.
Yeah, like, I mean, I see a name like Jim Miller on a prelim, I'm like, that's a big name, I know who Jim Miller is. But if Jim Miller walked by me, I wouldn't know who he is. No. I know the name Jim Miller, I know the name Cowboy Cerrone, but if Cowboy Cerrone walked down an alley, I wouldn't know him. Now, if Cheeseburger walked by me, now we're talking.
Oh, yeah. You'd recognize Cheeseburger in a heartbeat.
And if it was New Jack, I'd run for my life.
Most people would.
UFC 205 should be an electrifying night. Comments about Ronda. We never got to talk about it last week because it was a stacked show with a lot of the TNA lawsuit stuff. Rumors of her maybe possibly retiring soon, being one of her last fights, and possibly being part of the WWE roster like Stephanie had hinted.
It's interesting. I mean, I think that's obviously the next transitional period for her. Her brand has cooled off. So her getting a win, nothing's guaranteed. I definitely think she could become a part of that WWE family. I don't think it'll be nearly as extensive as what some people think it might be. I think, you know, it'd be a good get for WWE. It would be a strong, powerful female that could sell and is a legitimate ass kicker.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, it's a matter of what Ronda wants to do, and I don't know what Ronda wants to do.
I think it also matters for Ronda what she does as far as those movies go. If those movies bomb and the star power is not there, then we'll have to see, does she continue to fight? Does she go to the WWE and have a softer combat schedule?
Yeah.
That and maybe go that Brock kind of schedule, right? Where you use Ronda for big match scenes. The only difference is, in all respect to the women are getting great and they're growing. We've talked about the depth at NXT and everything like that. And I think if you can build up a match maybe between her and Daria, but you have to really build up Daria, that's you know, with her having her mixed martial arts and Ronda, that's maybe something you could do in 2 years' time. But how many big women matches are there for Ronda Rousey? I mean, the biggest dream match you would do is what, her and Trish?
Yeah.
And then you could do all the horsewomen. I don't even know if I would. I call Ronda versus Bayley a dream match, though.
Yeah, no.
It'd be more Ronda Charlotte, and maybe Ronda Sasha, maybe Ronda Becky.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So it's. I think you have a handful of special matches with her. Like I said, the way you can really build up is if you build up Daria correctly to have that fake mixed martial arts match, right?
Yeah.
But that's, again, Daria's barely shown on TV. That's a ways away.
Yeah, and it's just, don't want to get too far ahead, because you never know what's going to happen with everything.
She may not be with the company, and Daria may not even make it to be anything on NXT, let alone on the main roster.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Let's talk about Japan.
Yeah, basically, good show. There's a lot to talk about from that, but as our time winds down, I want to focus on the biggest thing. Kenny Omega pinned Okada. Kenny Omega pinned the champion. We are, what would you say, about a month and a half away from Wrestle Kingdom. And
about that, yeah.
The card's looking fantastic. I mean, you got your guy Kushida won. He regained his title.
But I need him to come to the company.
Hmm?
He needs to come to WWE, though.
Yes, he needs to come to WWE. And he's got a big match. We have Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta,
yeah.
Yeah, versus the Young Bucks for the title. We have Tanahashi challenging... Tanahashi's in a big match. He also had a very good main event match. Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened on that show that were just like, Will Ospreay just continues to impress me. Every time he does something, I'm like, just come to the U.S. Please, Will. Please. I just need you to be in here now because you are fantastic. Just the way he goes about things and the way he moves, it's just so good. Naito had retained his Intercontinental title, and he will be the one to face Tanahashi. So that's a big match.
What was in the time capsule?
Oh, the time bomb was Hiromu Takahashi. He is the one that did the run-in during Ladder Wars and tried to help Daniels and Kazarian.
So, okay.
And he licked Kushida's title. Just, he licked it. So.
Interesting.
And the main event, Okada versus Kenny Omega for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. This card looks fantastic right now. Like, this.
So that's the match for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that all four of the matches I've listed off are the matches for the Wrestle Kingdom.
Should be pretty solid.
I very well will be staying up late that night to watch it.
Yeah, that it's so crazy that there's not many other things like movies and TV shows. You don't have a movie or TV show or an album that drops at the beginning of the year and be like, well, everything has to live up to this standard. Wrestle Kingdom always has, like, here you go, and everything has to live to this the rest of the year.
Yeah. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Go ahead. Or Okada versus Tanahashi. Like, that rivalry is something that one day we'll have to go in depth on. But that is just the matches. And just, like, even their G1 match, where it went to a 30-minute draw. Like, Wrestle Kingdom 11, Okada and Omega, and Omega's on another level right now.
I've been very impressed from just the stuff I've seen of him. He's been really well, and it'll be interesting to see, because we know WWE has pursued both of these guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their contract statuses are, but you could be like, well, they're in the main event. Like, well, Nakamura and AJ were one of the main events last year, and look where they are right now.
Yeah. I really hope that that type of... I think we'll find out. We'll have a clear picture afterwards, and that's why I want to watch it live. I hope they have English commentary on it. It just helps as a viewer to watch with English commentary.
I would assume since JR and them are working the shows that they would be working this show, but I thought that last year, and I don't think that happened last year.
No. He'll probably end up being Kevin Kelly.
And doesn't... Not Josh Matthews.
Matt Stryker?
Who's... Yeah, I was saying, who's doing Lucha Underground right now? Matt Stryker. We could see him doing something.
This will definitely be something that I think I'm going to stay up for, just because it's a big card right now, and you've got a lot of star power. And don't kid yourself. If the Bucks drop the title, if the Bucks drop that title there and Omega doesn't win, make no mistake about it, that rumor mill's going to start.
Well, I mean, they did such a good job this year, too. Like, we thought, man, Japan's going to have a tough year. But you know what? They've been able to kind of bounce back and have had maybe a better year than even last year.
Yeah, it just shows what happens when you lose something, but you gain something else. And it's just the same thing with Japan. And I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
One other story I'll talk about is that Shawn Michaels is now the head of the WWE Performance Center.
He's
not. Because this is something that I believe Nash said.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer has confirmed that while Michaels is a coach, Bloom, Tensai, is still the head coach.
Okay.
So, that's confirmed. From
Do you think Dave, it could be a matter of time until that happens?
Think so. I think they're pretty happy with Matt Bloom, and I think Sean's just happy kind of being there and kind of doing his thing and having fun and taking people to movies.
Yeah. So there you go. UFC 205, we are a week away from Survivor Series. So again, next week we will have an extensive preview of Survivor Series. We will run down what happened on Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Anything new that happens with TNA, the only update we have in TNA is that there's no update at all. Billy Corgan was going to try to get 35% equity, try to get his business back, didn't do that. So if anything happens with TNA next week, we will talk about it. But as far as next week go, full previews, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, full reviews, and then full preview of what all that means for Survivor Series. And then as Survivor Series comes, we will be live in Toronto. And we will have a recap of NXT the show after, of Survivor Series the show after, and of Monday Night Raw the show after, SmackDown, and a big weekly pod. Chances of that happening are minimal.
Yeah, I think we're going to take a break from pro wrestling after next week. Well, not next week, but the week after.
Unless SmackDown has like the biggest thing of all time happen on it, then sure, but... Aside from that, we're going to take a week off. And whenever we do say we're going to take a week off, Brock Lesnar joins the UFC and John Cena gets injured. These are just a few things when we've said we're going to take a week off that ends up breaking. So you never know.
Usually how it goes. Quickly, three notes. Due to WWE, this is from the Wrestling Observer, due to a decline in WWE Network subscription numbers, WWE officials are looking at making another change when it comes to pay-per-view schedule next year. Plans haven't been finalized yet, but there will be a few less pay-per-view events than originally planned in 2017. After December 18th's Roadblock pay-per-view, WWE will have ran 15 pay-per-views events in 2016, plus 5 network exclusive events. So they're looking to kind of wind things down. Which is smart.
Well, I mean, if you look at things right now, the way the schedule is from the last time I looked up it, up to WrestleMania, we're going to get the Royal Rumble, and then we're going to get Elimination Chamber, which is the SmackDown show, and then we're going to get Fastlane, which is a Raw show, and then we will get, well, I mean, even right now we're going Survivor Series, both show together, right? And then we're going to get TLC, which is SmackDown. Then we're going to get Roadblock, which is Raw. Then we're going to get the Royal Rumble, which is both. Then we're going to get the Elimination Chamber, which is SmackDown. And then we're going to get that Roadblock, which is Raw. And then we're going to go to WrestleMania. Sound good? I do think those, like, Beasts in the East and all those were fun, but I think those will be the things that go by the wayside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm assuming that that cartoon Road Story show will be premiering after Survivor Series?
I think so.
Yeah. Because they haven't really had any network exclusives on for a while. Edge and Christian had an Instagram post this week teasing Season 2.
Yay!
And this week I think we did get everything, Joel. We missed a few things last week.
Cleaned it
we never really said, really quickly, we never really talked too much about 205 Live. Are you excited about it? Is it a risk? What do you think?
I think it's a good thing. I think it clearly kind of shows that you've got to, sometimes you've got to cater to the proper markets. Having this show, a lot of people are like, oh, it's oversaturation. Well, no. Because I go to a show like Netflix. You pick and choose what you're going to watch. The audience is going to pick and choose what they want to watch. WWE is just giving us more content to pick and choose from, where it's not like, well, we have to watch Raw, and we have to watch Triple H bury the whole roster. It's now we live in a world where we can watch Raw or SmackDown or 205 or NXT or an endless supply of independent content with New Japan as well there. The content's at our fingertips. We just have to pick and choose. Everyone sits there and goes, oh, well, we're going to have burnout. Well, no, you just pick what you want to watch. You don't have to watch everything. I don't watch everything.
No. I will say that when the Cruiserweight division was on, I watched NXT much more regularly, and now it's gone to watching YouTube clips of NXT.
Yeah.
Which I liked knowing, like, oh, and it was also the summer. There's so much more programming on now as well. And, yeah, you know, hockey's back, basketball's back, yada, yada, yada.
There's a lot. Two little notes. We are approaching the anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. And, as always, sad time in November. We have approached the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's sudden passing.
Which we did a podcast on that last year.
Yeah.
Which, if you can find, maybe put up?
Yeah, no, I don't keep those.
I may have the archive of it. I may have the archive of that. If I can find it, I'll put it up. We did about a 50-minute show on Eddie Guerrero. It was one of my favorite shows we did.
If you can track it down, definitely worthwhile throwing up. Because, yeah, it's... I don't want to do a podcast every year on Eddie.
No.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's something to note, and the screw job, and that's place in wrestling history.
Which hopefully we don't see in Toronto. I'm staying hopeful. I think we got a better chance of what you said, of them saying like, oh my god, they blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, I hope it's a 3-1 lead and no, hey.
I swear to god, Joel. I will ask for a refund.
I just accept it. It is what it is. They did.
I'm asking for a refund. I'm already bad enough I have to see James Ellsworth live. That's bad enough.
So, the calf crusher, that's going to be the screw job angle.
Any man with two hands can get a refund.
You might be fighting for that refund. And you might have some alcohol in your system, so.
That's a definitely, not a might.
Alright, I think we're done.
All right, well, until next time, cheers.
I was gonna say something, but I'm just gonna let it go. And just...
Becky almost broke Alexa Bliss's arm.
There we go.
Enjoy the day, people.